Good morning and welcome to worship this fifth Sunday after Pentecost. I direct your attention to the announcements at the end of the bulletin. Also, with a sad heart but with sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life, I want to inform you that Wilbur Smith died last night. Please keep Diane and the family in your prayers during this difficult time. At this time, let us continue our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your Spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The word of the Lord. Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. For our children this morning, I can remember being a child myself, and I seem to remember always wanting to be able to do more than I was able to do or allowed to do at a young age. I often wanted to be stronger. It didn't help that I had an older brother who was a little bit stronger than me for many of our years growing up. And so when it came time to lift something heavy or move something or carry something, I often found I wasn't quite strong enough to do it on my own. But it helped to have people stronger than me help, or to have extra people, extra hands to help. Today in our gospel lesson, Jesus talks about this desire we have as God's people to do things for ourselves, to show how strong we are and how good we are. And yet Jesus calls us to rely on Him. Jesus calls us to allow Him to work through us and in us. He calls us to trust in one another to help carry heavy loads and heavy burdens. And so when we're feeling afraid or angry or upset, we trust in Jesus and we count on one another to help each other through difficult times. Let us pray. Oh God, You love us so much. You sent Jesus to be with us, to strengthen us. You love us so much. You give us one another. You've entrusted us to care for each other and help each other, to bear each other's burdens. We ask You to give us the ability to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus refers to His own generation of people with what may strike us as a strange metaphor. Like children in the marketplaces calling to one another about not dancing, about not mourning. And He goes on to explain that this generation to which and about which He is speaking refuses to be satisfied. They refuse to respond to the various manifestations of God's work among them through Jesus. John the Baptist came first, Jesus says. He came in austerity, living a harsh and Spartan life. John emphasized the need for the people to repent. John spoke of what we might refer to as gloom and doom that awaited those who did not turn and hear God's message. The people, by and large, did not turn away from their sin. Rather, they turned against John and his message, and some even claimed John was demon-possessed. Jesus came after John to bring a message about the same coming of the same kingdom of heaven. But rather than emphasizing that judgment was imminent, Jesus focused more on the joyous banquet of the kingdom. Jesus brought a foretaste of the feast that was to come, a feast at which the lowly would be welcome. A feast where one's status didn't depend on how much money or prestige one had. A feast where everybody had a seat at God's table. Yet the very same people who rejected John for his harshness also rejected Jesus for the opposite reason. Jesus welcomed a little bit too freely. Jesus partied perhaps a little bit too hard. He's a drunkard and a glutton, the people say. He's too soft on the sinful. And so because of this, Jesus points out that the people He's speaking to are like fickle children. They respond neither to threat nor promise. They don't receive God's message no matter what form it comes in. The people Jesus describes are tragically hardened in heart, hardened against God's message and God's presence among them. And the people Jesus describes are probably not unique to their own generation. Doesn't this remind you of people that you know? People of current generations, perhaps, if we're totally honest, maybe even people we might see in the mirror every morning. It's easy to stand on the sidelines and criticize when you yourself don't have to make decisions. And like so many modern-day armchair quarterbacks, people in Jesus' day were so sure that they knew better than John or Jesus what God's kingdom and presence would look like. God's presence could never be so harsh and demanding. On the one hand, God's presence could never be so loving and forgiving. On the other. And so Jesus points out the people sat and argued. They listened to their own judgmental voices rather than God's voice. They were people who refused to repent but insisted on criticizing others. Maybe some things don't change too much in a couple thousand years. Jesus goes on to share words that are difficult for those of us who like to think of ourselves as wise and intelligent. He prays, thanking the Father that his words and his message have been hidden from those whom the world thinks of as wise and intelligent. Instead, he says, these things have been entrusted to infants. Those who think they know best, those who assume they have all the answers, those who talk more than they listen, need not apply. Or perhaps better said, those who are proud and arrogant don't even think they need to apply. They exclude themselves from God's activity by their own sense of superiority. These loud and proud ones are the ones who make such racket they can't hear God's word when it's spoken among them. They're the ones who are bound and determined to be self-sufficient and self-made and self-confident, so determined they can't understand or accept the simple grace and mercy of God that Jesus came to bring. Mercy looks like weakness to the wise. God's gracious wisdom sounds like foolish nonsense to the intelligent. Infants, meanwhile, are those who are open to Jesus' message. They are those who have nowhere else to turn, and they know deep down they are dependent on God. Like literal infants who accept the care and attention of their caregivers without resistance, God has dared to entrust the gospel message to those who are able to be open to it. That can be all of us at times, to be sure. We all want to be included in that group. We always want to read ourselves into this story as those whom Jesus welcomes and entrusts the matters of the kingdom to. But we also need to be honest about those parts of ourselves that are more similar to the wise and the intelligent, whom Jesus says cannot understand and cannot receive what God has to offer. We all have those tendencies to try to save ourselves at times. We all like to be in control and right at times. Yet Jesus' call to us is to turn to him, receive him simply and willingly as an infant reaches for care and nourishment. And so Jesus' words are a call to the proud to humble ourselves. And they are a call to the humble to be lifted up into God's good graces. Jesus' message is a comfort to the oppressed, not a weapon to be used by the oppressor. And nowhere is this fact clearer than in Jesus' invitation that I am sure resonates with us all these long and difficult days. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I'm not going to bother to ask if you're weary these days. I'm pretty sure I know the answer. If you're not, please call me after the service and tell me what your secret is. Rather, I want to ask you to think about this. What is it that is making you weary at this time? Is it the anxiety and loneliness of a seemingly endless pandemic? Is it the weight of financial worry and job loss? Is it the crushing load of health struggles or the heaviness of watching a loved one suffer and struggle? Is it the ongoing fatigue of grief? Is it the anxiety of racial tension? Is it the exhaustion of a constant stream of bad news? maybe some of all of these. Whatever it is that burdens you and wearies you, Jesus calls you to rest in Him and rely on Him as an infant relies on the care of a loving parent. It is the same call God has issued to God's chosen people throughout history. It's the same as the call He gave to Moses in Exodus 33. God promised Moses, when things seemed hopeless, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Likewise, in that day and time, God called to the people not to rely on their own might and wisdom, but rather to trust in God alone. It was God who freed the people from their oppressors in Egypt. It was God who led them across the sea. It was God who led them in the wilderness. It was God who promised them the promised land. And God called the people again and again to trust in God alone. Now we know the other part of that story, that Moses and the others had many opportunities along the way to find various golden calves. They had many chances to turn against God, to turn to their own strength or to the false promise of idols. But God continually called the people back into relationship, back into fellowship, back into trust and love. God was indeed their rock and their rest in their time of wilderness. In that same way, Jesus calls to all who struggle and suffer in this and any day and age, "Come to me. Learn from me. You will find rest in me." And so Jesus' call is actually a call to both the unrighteous and the self-righteous, to both the wise and to the infants. The good news for some of us is Jesus does not write off the loud and the proud, the ignorant or the arrogant. Instead, He calls us. And what does His call to us say? Be just as you are. Stay the same. No, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus doesn't just accept us where we are. He's willing to start where we are, and He loves us too much to leave us in the sad state He finds us in. And His teaching, this instruction we will find, is not instruction on how to be great or powerful, but rather how to be lowly and humble, how to be loving and compassionate. If I start to sound like a broken record in recent weeks, forgive me, but I will say it again, the change that our world needs right now cannot come apart from the love and compassion of Christ working in and through us. And I pray that people will truly see the love and presence of Christ at work in Christ's followers. We must begin to learn from Jesus to see others as He sees them, to treat others as He would treat them, to love others as He loves them. This is by no means a quick or easy lesson, but we must come to Him. We must allow Him to teach us and place His gentle yoke upon our shoulders to guide us, to lead us, and to teach us His ways. Meanwhile, to those of us, or for the parts of us that feel like infants, when we're completely dependent and know we are unworthy, Jesus promises us this. His yoke is easy and His burden is light, and we will find rest for our souls. That does not mean discipleship will always be fun and easy. After all, we follow one who was crucified, and He calls us also to take up our crosses. But what His promise here does mean is that we are not to bear the burdens of this world by ourselves. No longer are we pulling a yoke alone. We are yoked with Christ and with one another. So whether we're too wise for our own good, or completely helpless on our own, or some sad mix of both. Jesus came to us, Jesus calls us, Jesus invites us into life with him. He invites us to see the world through his loving and compassionate eyes. We're living in difficult and weary days. We're in a wilderness in many ways. It's easy to find among us and within us plenty of infants and plenty of would-be wise and intelligent ones. It's easy to see the symptoms around us of people determined to pull their own yokes alone, or worse yet, people who yoke themselves with idols and evil people and dark forces. But into such a world, Jesus is come to call us, to love us, to teach us, and to guide us. As we humble ourselves to follow him, we are truly a sign to the world of God's gracious and loving presence. We must learn from him, follow him, and live and love as he does. So all you who are weary, find rest in Jesus this week. And at the same time, find your work in Jesus this week, sharing his love with all. Amen. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. We pray for the church. Sustain us as we share your word. Embrace us as we struggle to find our common ground. Lift up leaders with powerful and prophetic voices. Free us from stagnant faith. Hear us, O God. We pray for the well-being of creation. Protect air, water, and land from abuse and pollution. Free us from apathy in our care of creation and direct us toward sustainable living. Hear us, O God. We pray for the nations, especially this nation, as we celebrate our independence. Guide leaders in developing just policies and guide difficult conversations. Free us from all forces that hinder relationship building. Lead us to expansive love for our neighbors. Hear us, O God. We pray for all in need, for all who are tired, feeling despair, sick or oppressed, especially those on our prayer list and those whom we name now. Take their yoke upon you and ease their burdens. Give your consolation and free us from all that keeps us bound. Hear us, O God. We pray for this congregation. Bless pastors, deacons, congregational leaders, and all of us. Energize children's ministry volunteers, church administrators, and those who maintain our building. Shine in this place that we might notice the ways your love transforms our lives. Hear us, O God. We give thanks for those who have died in the faith, especially this day we remember our brother Wilbur. Welcome them into your eternal rest and comfort us in our grief until we are joined with them in new life. Hear us, O God. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share peace with one another with a wave or with a text to those who can't be with us this morning. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. God of the welcome table in this meal, we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your neighborly love with all. Through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is with you.